Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Well, here we are.
Felger.
What?
And Mass.
The whole team suck.
Felger and Mass.
Maybe your part in the back is a little bit loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Can I start the program with a multiple choice question?
Yes, multiple choice. Yeah, E.
Because I'm curious about how you feel about it. Well, why don't I give you the options first and you can tell me what letter.
Okay, go.
Okay. Who was he mad at? A, his crappy receivers.
I like this question already.
B, Belichick for giving him crappy receivers. C, himself for missing a throw or not being sharp. D, his contract. Or E, the entire thing. He's just not that happy anymore.
I would say A, B, and C.
Okay, and again, refresh my memory. A, B, and C are his receivers.
So his receivers?
He's mad at his crappy receivers. He's mad at Bill for giving him crappy receivers. And C is his contract.
Himself.
Oh, yes. He's mad at you think he's on his list?
Himself, yes. I think Brady's always on his list. I think he holds himself to a high standard. So he might have missed a throw or two, and that he would always get pissed off at himself. The real answer is mostly A and B. That's what I don't think he's pissed off about the contract.
You don't?
No, I don't either. He wouldn't if he
agreed to
off,
it.
Yeah, if he was pissed off about it, he wouldn't have accepted it.
Oh, I don't agree with that at all. I think Brady, his whole career here, has taken contracts that he hasn't loved. But he's just taking it because he's not a fighter when it comes to that thing. He's not going to take it to the mattress over money. He never has been. He's non-confrontational in all this stuff. He would have given in on Deflategate. You know, he would have. He would have taken a game. He would have taken that million dollar, but he wasn't going to throw his ball boys under the bus. But he was ready to settle on the other stuff. He's not a battler when it comes to that.
Yeah, I still think it's mostly A and B. I still think it's mostly those two things. Because, again, if he's not a battler on that stuff, then it shouldn't bother him all that much.
Oh, it bothers him. He just takes it. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what I think. What do you think, Murray? Why'd he punt the ball into the stands? Who's he mad at?
I'm with Maz on this. It's A, B, and C. He hates these new receivers because it's mostly crap. He hates Bill for many reasons, but this particular instance is because this is what you got me. And where's Danny Amendola? Oh, that's right. You didn't want to pay him. And then C, it's himself. Man, why isn't there enough zip on the ball? Is it because, I probably should have practiced more? Oh, what's that thing, the battle I was going against last year? I had a whole document. Time.
Here I come, time. I'm coming for you, Tom. You can't beat me. No one can beat me. Ooh, time.
So A, B, and C. I don't think he's mad about the contract.
So you think he's frustrated that he's feeling his age?
Maybe.
Is that what you think?
Yeah, maybe there's not enough zip on the ball or something. Maybe there's not enough velocity on it or something. And what's that? Oh, you know, man, I'm only a year removed from my MVP season. I was just in the Super Bowl. What is the age? Time.
All right, so that one I dismiss because I think these guys, it's part of their strength. It's part of why they're so great. But I don't think they ever think they screw up, really. And they may say something else in front of a microphone. I mean, Bill never does. Bill never takes responsibility. Brady will, but I don't think he means it.
But you don't think there are times that Brady plays badly and says, like he did after the playoff game, Baltimore's the AFC Championship game, I sucked out there today, and he means it?
Not really.
Oh, I do.
Oh, come on. What about the meltdown in Buffalo last year when he missed a wide-open Brandon Cooks and he lost his mind and then started screaming at Josh McDaniels in front of his family?
Yeah, so that was he blaming himself?
I think partly.
I don't.
Oh, I think, well, I don't know about that one, but I think
he told Josh to go F himself because Brady was mad at himself?
I mean,
that make any sense?
That was on him. As much as I got on Brandon Cooks last year, that particular miss, that was on Brady. He was wide open.
So then why did he tell Josh to go screw?
Because McDaniels, I think, initiated, like, hey, you got to make that throw, man.
And he's like, I know, a-hole.
Okay. Yeah.
I get it. I know Brady takes responsibility for certain things, but yesterday apparently the ball was rolling around on the ground because no one could catch the ball. You think he's blaming himself?
No.
He should be. Don't get me wrong. I think he should be. I think he should be on his own list of things to be frustrated at.
So when you say the ball, specifically yesterday, the ball rolling around on the ground from drops, is he blaming himself for drops? No. But if he makes a bad throw, he knows when he makes a bad throw. That's all I'm saying.
So
I still think the bigger thing is the personnel and the offense in general. Those two things are pissing him off more than anything right now.
I think it's all of it. And, you know, like, why should money matter to everyone except him? He's a human being. Of course it matters to him. Just because he takes it doesn't mean he likes it. He takes it because he knows there's going to be nothing else. And he's not going to hold out. And he's not going to do that thing. So this is all they're giving me. This is all they're giving me. Boy, this sucks. Really? You're making me finish top five in yards per attempt to get a measly $1 million? Fine. I'll take it. Whatever. But that doesn't mean he likes it. So I think it's everything. I think he's just sort of aggravated with the whole thing. But he should be on his own list. It's hypocritical. In his interview on EEI this morning, this is one of the things he said. He said, the thing about our team is we try and perform at a very, very high level. 8-8 isn't the expectation for our team. Doing something 50-50 isn't going to work out well for our team. I think we'll all be frustrated by that level of performance. When you try and do things at an extremely high level at a 14-2, 15-1 level, it requires a different level of stamina and competition. How about a different level of commitment? You just showed up. So have you been putting in the work that would be commensurate with a 14-2, 15-1 level? No. So he should be on his own list. But I don't think he looks in the mirror like that. I think he looks at it and says, I know what I'm doing. I'm already here. It's up to these jamokes to catch up.
But you don't think Brady is capable at times of looking at himself and saying, I didn't play well today?
Not as much as you're portraying.
Oh, I disagree with you. I think he holds himself to a high standard and he knows when he screws up.
Not yesterday.
Okay, so but that's a different, you know, maybe that's a different question. I'm telling you that if he's throwing the ball to clowns, which is what he's doing right now, then I think that's the source of his frustration. I came back for this.
Yes, that's what I agree. Right. He's blaming his teammate. He's blaming someone else around him.
I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. I think he looks at it and goes, you got to be kidding me. Jules is going to be out the first four games. Eric Decker can't catch the ball anymore. Cordarrelle Patterson can run down the sideline. That's about it. And otherwise, I have to throw to Devin Lucien and whoever else. No chance. So I think he's pissed. Yeah, I think he's pissed about that. And part of it is the guys who can't catch the ball, and part of it is Bill.
Do we have reports on practice yet? Did Edelman go out there today? I'm curious. Because there was some scary-sounding stuff from practice yesterday. Scary-sounding stuff all around. Well, starting with Decker. I'm reading from, I can't remember where I cut and paste this. I think Bedard on Boston Sports Journal. It's often tough for veteran receivers to get up to speed, but Eric Decker has been in this system before and is known as a smart player who should get the playbook quickly. That has not really been the case to this point. That has not really been the issue to this point, excuse me. Decker has just struggled to catch the ball. And if it doesn't turn around soon, it makes you wonder how long the Patriots, already light at the position, will wait. To add insult to injury, Decker did run a wrong route today, which elicited a come on, Deck, from one of the coaches. He's definitely scuffling. When did Decker ever play in this system?
In Denver with McDaniels.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
2010 or whatever.
Yeah,
it was.
Okay, there it is.
Yeah,
I was trying to wonder, like, when did he do that?
No, okay. He installed some of the same terminology and that stuff out there.
All right, well, there you go. He said, Bedard says, a passing offense in general, yeah, the conditions were bad yesterday, but if you have a lot of fears about the state of the receivers, this was a prime example. The best player won't be playing the first four games, Edelman, and his playmaking ability was definitely at a new low. With Patterson out of practice, slim pickings. Oh, yeah. Cordarrelle Patterson was on the lower field, meaning he's injured. So now he's hurt. Kenny Britt with this hamstring can't get on the real practice field. He's still hurt. Edelman, apparently, yesterday came up lame at the end of the practice, was either shaking out his leg or rubbing his knee or something, and this the same knee and the same leg that he just came off the surgery on the ACL. Was he back out there today, Murray? Does anyone report him?
I'm looking at Jeff Howell, looking at all the other beat folks. I haven't seen anything yet.
Maybe they're not allowed.
Oh, here we go. Edelman is here at practice. No apparent issues with the leg.
Okay, so there you go. But either way, it looks grim. It looks grim at that spot, Maz. So Brady has a right to be mad about that.
Yes, yeah, and I think I still think that's the biggest thing. I'm not telling you the other things are a zero. I just think the biggest thing is, you know what, if you look at it in these terms, the third preseason game is now 9 days away, right? And Brady's probably going to get some reps in this game. I think, I don't know, what the hell do I know? But maybe he gets a few reps on Thursday, and then really, but the third one isn't that far off. And it feels like Belichick turned up the intensity a little bit at the start of this week. Like, okay, here we go. We had a nice soft landing to training camp, and now we're down to business.
So he turns up the heat just a little bit on what's been just a ridiculously soft camp. I mean, they've barely started, it
sure.
feels like.
Sure.
So this week, he finally has a couple of practices back-to-back in pads. Finally just turns up the volume a little bit. And Cordell Patterson and Jeremy Hill can't even get through it. Those guys are already grabbing hamstrings on the lower field, off the field, and Kenny Britt can't even get up to speed, and they haven't even done anything yet. So not only do I look at the quality of the player, but I look at like the character of the guy and where they're coming from. The Bengal, Jeremy Hill, please. I don't care what he looked like the other night. You have any faith in that guy?
Well, shouldn't the coach take some responsibility, too?
Yes. All of it.
Yeah. I was going to say, because maybe rather than, oh, I don't know, cornhole tournaments at Fenway and turning Gillette Stadium into 1880s football stadium or whatever the hell he did that one time, put these guys to work.
Oh, so I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about going out and getting a guy like Jeremy Hill, who has no reservoir of, or no...
Oh, yeah, now he's a bag of crap.
He has no clue what it takes to win and prepare and, you know, and Cordell Patterson, I'd probably say the same thing about. How the hell does he know? Came from Minnesota and then he did go to Oakland for a couple of years.
I think that's yeah. right. Yeah.
He has no idea. And Kenny Britt, please, total jackwagon, that guy. So you fill your roster and the receiving core with these guys who really, I don't know if they have a clue. Decker does, I guess, kind of, sort of.
But might be done.
But could be totally cashed. I mean,
Stephon Gilmore came from the Bills. Go back 2 years. They've taken a lot of guys from some bad teams in the last couple of years.
At least Stephon Gilmore made it through the two practices. I mean, my Lord. They finally have two real practices on consecutive days. Never mind two-a-days. Never mind really grinding out through camp. They come off of another 2 days off, and Bill gets off the fast ferry and says, okay, I guess let's have a couple days of practice. We might as well start to practice, right, Jim? You know, might as well. And Patterson and Hill and these guys, they can't even get through it. They can't even get through the two practices. They can't even get... So it's like, never mind that they suck. But now you wonder, are they even the right kind of guy to get with the program? And so if I'm Brady, I'm pissed at that too, for sure.
Of course.
But he could also look in the mirror now because he just showed up himself. So at least he's not, maybe I'll take that back. Because Brady couldn't get through the first week, apparently, without getting a sore back.
Okay, but your initial question to me was, what's Brady pissed at?
I think everything.
And I think the things he's most pissed at are the personnel in the offense, or the performance of the offense. Like, I think he looks at it and says, holy crap, do we have work to do? Because we are going to suck if this doesn't improve.
And they're still nickel and diming me on the contract? And I still got to do all this for a couple extra million bucks? Don't discount that. He's a human being at the end of the day. Money does matter.
Yeah, I just don't think that's why he punted the ball in the stands. To me, he punted the ball in the stands because he looked at it and said, well, it doesn't matter. I might as well kick it because when I throw it, they can't catch it anyway.
What do you folks think? 617-779-0985. To you right after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right. Receiving corps is kind of a mess. Hasn't looked good at camp. Brady's pissed. Why is he pissed? Does he have a right to be pissed? Etc. That's how we're starting with your phone calls. Kevin in Abington, go ahead, lead us off today. What do you got?
Yeah, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I think I'm finally all set with the Brady drama. I just feel like Belichick was right. They should have moved on from him, regardless of age. It's just too much right now. I think it's more so not about his physical ability than at his age. It's more about just how he feels at his age. Being 42, I almost know what he means, but you don't feel the same way at 41 that you do at 37. I just think there's a lot going on, and they should have just moved on from him. Belichick was right, in my opinion. I'm sick of the drama. Had enough of it.
Yeah, fair enough. You know, it's not Favre-ish, but it's Favre-like. I don't know. It's like it's getting there. I mean,
no, it's creeping in that direction.
I mean, Favre was ridiculous about it, and he brought it a lot on himself. This isn't as much created by Brady as it is by us, but it's still there. It still exists, and Brady is sending all sorts of mixed messages about it's sooner rather than later. You think about why are we doing this? Who are we doing it for? And then the next day it's, you know, in Spanish playing to 45. And then the next day it's, well, it's going to be sooner rather than later. I negotiated 2 years. And then the next day it's, no, it's you know, I want to be on 2020. It's like back and forth and back and forth. And so that's sort of what it was like with Favre for the last 3 to 4 years.
And if not Favre-ish, Marino-y.
Yeah.
I mean, Marino towards the end. Remember how he was screaming at wide receivers for, you know, bad routes or making a drop or anything like that? That, like, what happened yesterday with Brady, like, that's right out of the Dan Marino playbook towards the end.
There is no question that everything that has happened, except for the most important thing, and that's Brady's level of play, which has remained outstanding. But just about everything else, I bet Bill Belichick goes to Robert Kraft and says, I told you so. This is what happens. And the more I think of it, the more I think that's the way the contract looks the way it looks. And that is you can't, you know, and money talks down there, right? Like that's, you know, that's where the rubber meets the road. So they'll trade Brady's understudy. They'll do this, they'll do that. But when it comes to actually giving him leverage in terms of money, they won't do it. And I think that that's partly, that is Bill's fingerprints all over it. You can't, at the end of this guy's career, he's not Drew Brees, Robert. That's a stupid contract and a stupid thing to do. You shouldn't do it. And Robert takes that advice when it comes to the financials.
Yeah, I you know, and look, I've told you this before.
But I'm sorry. So just finishing my thought, I think Bill could have foretold this whole thing. The drama of a legend at the end of his career, and it becomes about him and not the team, and all those inherent distractions that come along with it. Never mind what eventually was going to have to be a physical decline and all of that. I bet Bill says, I told you so on all of it. I bet you Bill thought Brady wouldn't be playing this well at 40, but everything else, I bet he could have predicted.
Well, and again, I feel Brady has brought a lot of this on himself to start, and he tells people what they want to hear. So he sits with Jim Gray, and he's doing an interview, you know, at the Milken Institute, and tells, you know, he'll make the crack about taking the fifth and everything else, and then he'll sit with Oprah. But then he comes here, and he's playing nice. He's just completely disingenuous about it. It depends on his audience. He totally says, you know, what the audience wants to hear.
Well, I also think a factor is his wife sitting there or not. You know, when he says that with Oprah, it's the end's coming sooner rather than later, and family, she's standing, we're sitting right there off camera. So it's like, you know, I think that's part of it too. When she's not within earshot, maybe the tone changes there as well. Chuck and Acton, go ahead, Chuck.
So just let me, first of all, thanks for having me. If we look back to Kraft and we look at how sentimental he was with the Hernandez signing, people were surprised at how quickly that happened. Just let me finish. What do you think the possibility is that there's an equity agreement in the team, however small,
Chuck,
moving forward?
A lot of people brought that up.
The contract.
Yeah, and that's just, I mean, maybe, but it's a massive, massive salary cap violation. And if you think they came down on you for Spygate or Deflategate or anything in between, that'll pale in comparison to what happens if they decide to investigate and find that Brady on the back end gets some sort of financial consideration for the discounts he gave Kraft during his career. They will kill the team, and the team knows it, and Brady knows it, and everyone knows it. So if that's what's happening, they better be real creative or keep it real low, or I don't know how they do it. Or maybe the league, or just hope the league doesn't look. But if Brady retires, and at the end of his, you know, for no reason whatsoever, Kraft just gives him a couple points in the team or something, I don't think they can do that.
No, they'll get hit hard.
They'll get killed for
that.
Yeah,
they will. They'll get hit hard. So, look, the contract, if you think about it, is consistent with what Brady's always done. I mean, he's always done it this way.
He has.
He takes team-friendly deals. And so, now I just think now he's more of a pain in the ass. But his willingness to sort of blend into the team fabric has always been one of his greatest assets. So from that standpoint on the contract, I at least feel like his behavior is consistent. It's the other stuff I look at and say, you're being a pain in the ass. What the hell happened to you? I just don't think he acts like the same guy anymore.
I just don't think he's happy about the contract. That's all. I mean, how could he be? Bob and Groton, how about Bob? How are you? What do you got?
Oh, hi, guys. Good afternoon. I just wonder, why don't they go after Dez Bryant if they need receivers? He's a good receiver. He'd probably like to play with Brady.
You know, let me just do this quickly. Christian in Foxborough, you want Dez Bryant?
I mean, honestly, guys, it's getting to the point where I think we're going to have to get him. I mean, I'm pretty convinced at this point Kenny Britt is never going to play again. Philip Dorsett, like, hasn't done anything since he got here. Riley McCarron, I went to one of the practices. He's dropping balls. Like, I think we honestly need him right now.
And this is I can't believe I'm creeping down that road. I started last week with this.
I'm not doing it.
Maz, the receivers are wretched.
Yep, they're bad.
They're wretched.
Yep.
And so you tell me the solution there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like I doubt that, like, I'm dubious that Julian Edelman's going to come back and be a factor this year. I mean, be the same factor he's been. You know, I think he's going to take a significant step back there, I think. They're in deep crap at that position. They have nothing.
So between, and look, I'm saying Edelman will give them something, right? He'll give them something. I don't know if he'll be the same guy, but Welker had 86 catches a year. He came off the knee surgery. So, you know, that doesn't suck. Between that, Gronk, and the backs, I think they have enough. I do. I think they have enough.
I don't know. Rich on Cape Cod has something for Jim Murray and his backup quarterback list yesterday. It was pretty brutal, wasn't it, Rich?
Yeah, I'm just surprised how Jim has made it this far with some of the moronic nonsense he spews.
That's a little strong.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he should be pushing a broom. Trevor Siemian.
20-plus years in radio, Rich. Be mad about it, and I'll be here tomorrow, and I'll be here next year.
I just want to say I miss Beadle, and
he's in the middays now. He's in the middays now. I'm here, and I'll be here tomorrow and the rest of the week, and you can continue to be mad about it. And my list, which was the correct list.
You haven't rethought at all Brock Osweiler over Brian Hoyer?
No, beat the Patriots a couple of years ago in Denver. There's still that talent there. Brian Hoyer, what the hell's he done the last couple of years except puke all over himself to the tune of 5 turnovers in the one playoff game he's ever played?
You haven't rethought DeShone Kizer over Brian Hoyer?
Have not. No, my list is the correct list.
Jim?
Yes?
Mike Thomas just popped his head in. He wants to see you during the break.
Ah, all right. Well, I'm still under contract, and I'll take that buyout.
Jimmy the janitor.
I will, you know, now that you...
Why don't you push your broom down to Thomas's office,
Murray? You know, I don't need you pushing a broom, but you know what you know what I've realized about this place? Just now that you mentioned something along the lines of custodial duties here? This is your kind of place, Murray, this new building. You know why?
Yeah, no recycling bins. It's the best.
One big bag. Have you noticed?
Yeah. Yes, I have, yeah.
One big bag.
Yeah, everything
no recycling
I want.
Bins.
What are we doing? How hard is this, people? Just get a blue bucket and put it next to the other one.
Well, there are a couple in the hallway out there, but not in the kitchen.
There are out there?
Yeah, there's one or two of them.
Well, how simple is it? Just get a green bucket, put it next to that one, and we can recycle.
Yeah, we do. We need more recycling bins.
This is something
not high on my list of things at the moment, but we do need them.
Murray, when you take over that department, I know you believe in one big bag, but I could use a blue bin out there. We got more of your
Jimmy the janitor.
I was going to say, I just moved over the weekend. Nothing got recycled. Just so much trash out front. All ends up in the same place. You know it.
More of your phone calls coming up. And also, we have a Celtics Minute, something that's been gnawing at Maz a little bit. We'll get to that right after Murray's headlines. That's right, he's on headlines.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, we're going to get to that in 1 second. Jaylen Brown. There's breaking small B news with the Patriots out of training camp just now, and it fits perfectly with what we've just been talking about. Murray, who just got helped off the field?
That would be wide receiver Philip Dorsett.
Shocker.
Reading from Phil Perry here, NBC Sports Boston. Philip Dorsett getting helped off the field after going down following one, count them, just one, 11-on-11 rep. Straight to the blue tent. Bad news for an already thin position group. So Philip Dorsett, injured today. We don't know how bad, but that's definitely not good for the thin wide receiver group.
So, and Murray, I'm sort of with you again. It's like, so it's club med there for 2 weeks. They're barely practicing. Days off, days off, days off. Now Bill just turns it up just a little, and guys are dropping like flies. It's partly on those guys. Maybe he's got some low character guys at that receiver group. But also, it's like, maybe no one was really ready to get into the rigors of training camp.
Maybe.
Patterson down this week. Jeremy Hill down this week. Edelman came back today, and not that he would ever be on that list, but Kenny Britt, who's a total jack wagon. Always has been.
Kenny Britt's been out for months. Seriously.
Can't get on the field, and now they take one snap and Dorsett's out too. They have no one to throw to. Dez Bryant, Maz. I'm about to almost start endorsing it.
He's meeting with the Browns on Thursday, so that almost seems like a foregone conclusion.
If you can't beat out the Browns for that, then please. So,
here's what I'll tell you. Like, on the right deal, of course. Like,
well, of course it's going to be the right deal. It's going to be make good.
So here's why I'm having trouble engaging on it. Do you think Bill will do it?
I think he might. I think we're getting there.
I don't.
Why?
I don't.
Why?
Because I think that he's set a clear pattern here in terms of how he's going to do it with the quarterback this year.
Meaning what?
Amendola gone. Cook's gone.
I'm leaving you out to dry?
Yep.
This is the plan. 2018, we're hanging Tom out to dry.
Yeah, you figure it out, fancy boy.
Yeah.
You think you can do it without me? Go ahead.
Yeah, if you're that good, Tom, if it's all about you, if you're that important, go ahead. Let's see you do it.
So he's intentionally sabotaging the roster to stick it to Tom?
In part.
Okay.
So intentionally sabotaging is strong.
I mean, I can't go there.
Wait a minute. We've said all offseason. Look at all the moves they've made. Amendola gone. Cook's gone. Left tackle gone. Like, if you didn't know any better, you'd sit there and say that he was looking at the quarterback and say, okay, Tom, here you go.
Well, let's not forget he tried to trade Gronk, too. But
you're the most important man on the planet. Here you go. Deion Lewis gone. We'll draft him running back. We'll rebuild the offensive line. If you're that good, go ahead. Here you go. See if you can figure it out.
So that group, I mean, we've talked before, like this is the worst receiving group Tom's ever had. And we compared it to, you know, the gold standard again for Succotude is 2006 with Rashay Caldwell leading the way in receptions. And then 2013 was close behind. This is getting bad. And look, even if these guys were fully healthy, even if these guys were all on the field, I would say to you, Kenny Britt, Philip Dorsett, Cordarrelle Patterson, even if these guys are on the field, they suck. Now it's not going to be them. It's going to be their backup. I mean, again, we don't know how hurt anybody is.
Devin Lucien.
Holy smokes.
It's not as bad as 06. 06 was the worst. I mean, you still have Gronk. At the very least, you have Gronk. And you've got James White. You get some backs you can throw to, like, which is why I think ultimately they'll be okay. Like, I do. I have a hard time believing Belichick's going to go get Dez Bryant. He'll pick up someone else. He'll bring up, you know, the next guy like Austin Collie or someone like that from years ago, but the equivalent of that, but he won't go get Dez.
And apparently Eric Decker could not have looked worse if he tried. Almost like he can't play anymore. And so this is the group. This is what Tom's been given. Let's get to Jaylen Brown in a minute. Let me just get a few calls here on this topic since we're here. Jason in Vermont. Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, Felger. Does it hurt you to actually criticize Bill Belichick? Between last year and this year, it looks like he's just given up and everything is about him and it's a personal vendetta against Tom.
So I think that he's, I mean, you think I go easy on Bill? I think he's definitely made some things personal. And again, if and when the Malcolm Butler thing ever comes out, and now I think something's going to come out, because if I'm hearing crap, then there's crap out there. And when you hear that, you'll say, oh, it was personal. And it's like, so yes, I think he's done things for personal reasons, but I still think he believes he can win. So it's not like when you say he's intentionally sabotaging the team, it's like he's intentionally taking a loss to prove a point to Tom? Hell no.
No, he thinks he can win anyway.
He's saying to himself, I'll sit this, you know, this a-hole Butler and I'll win anyway. And okay, so fancy pants Tom wants it all his way. Let's see you win with Devin Lucien. We'll still win, but good luck, Tom. Like, I mean, he still thinks he's going to win, so I you will never get me to say, and nor have I ever believed, that he's intentionally taken a loss and sabotaging the team. It's more like on his terms. And so we can debate whether those terms put the team in the best position to win or not, but I think that's at play.
Well, this is where Bill takes it too far, and his ego and his self-confidence get so great that he doesn't see that ultimately he's vulnerable. So this is where he crosses a line. It's not the first time he does it. So I just have a hard time believing that he looks at the landscape right now and says, we don't have enough to win. Because it's just not how he operates. And in this particular case, he might be right. They've been worse than this at receiver. They have. 06 was horrid.
And they didn't win. And they should have. They had, you know, they were right there. AFC title game. Another receiver. And, you know, they got a win there. And in 13, you know, maybe that game's not in Denver. Maybe that game's somewhere, you know, so it's like, when he's left himself that short, it has impacted them. And 13, he still had Edelman that game, I think, didn't he?
I think that's right.
I think he had Edelman and Amendola in that game. This? Oh, man. This looks rough. This looks grim. It looks grim even fully healthy. And now these guys are dropping like flies. Glenn in the car on Brady's contract. Hi, Glenn.
Hey. Also, exactly what you guys have been saying about how bad this contract is. You just went through the next receiver to go down. So already we have this crap bag of receivers. But then throw on top of it, well, he was like five in like three of the categories.
That's right.
But Carson Wentz didn't play last year. He didn't finish. The guy down in Houston didn't finish.
That's right.
And now you have Jimmy G. So now Tom Brady's already at, what, 6'7"?
Well, I mean, look, I'm not putting him behind Carson Wentz and Jimmy Garoppolo, but Glenn, I agree with your general point. He's going to have a hard time hitting those incentives. I don't think he's going to hit them. He'll hit some of them, but I don't think he's going to hit all five. I don't think he's hitting all five. So he basically has to match the season he had last year. I mean, just look at it that way. How does he match the season he had last year when he's a year older, he took the whole offseason off, his most important receiver just failed a steroid test, is going to miss the first month and come back on a restructured knee and no steroids. His receiving core is the worst it's been in at least 5 years, maybe a decade. So you tell me, how does he put up the same? How does he match what he did last year?
I don't think he does.
Yeah, he's not going to be able to. And I, you know, over the weekend, I was considering this contract extension or, you know, these incentives as this is Jimmy Garoppolo on paper. It's a way to motivate Tom. No, it's not. It's not a dangling carrot. It's a middle finger is what it is. He's not going to be able to get that. But this wide receiver core, I'm looking at these names too. Chris Hogan, Cordarrelle Patterson, Julian Edelman, who's out for the first month. Philip Dorsett, now injured. Kenny Britt, Eric Decker, something called Paul Turner. Devin Lucien, who's a practice squad player at best. Riley McCarron, Braxton Berrios, who they draft in the seventh round, and Matthew Slater, because he's technically a wide receiver.
There's only one guy I like on that list. There's only one guy. As a third, fourth guy.
Hogan. Chris Hogan.
Hogan.
Yeah.
Hogan is a nice comp. You know, if he's one of the amigos, fine. I mean, but he can't be the first or the second.
No, because he'll get shut down. He can't beat man coverage either.
Exactly. He's not going to beat elite corners. He'll beat the second or third corner. It's maybe.
Purely a matchup guy.
So he's right. He's a good compliment that if the defense leaves him alone, he'll get open and catch the ball. And so I like him. Fine. He's reliable. I like Chris Hogan. But if that's your number one, your group sucks.
Paul Turner.
Who's Paul Turner?
Yeah, he was in the Eagles system. I think he was a practice squad player there, but they picked him up within the last couple of weeks.
You know, I'd rather have Ike and Tina.
Sounds like a guy should be running the IT department. Paul Turner? Yeah. That's like an NFL player to you? All right, Maz has a Celtics minute. You'll hear Jaylen Brown coming back from break, and Maz has a problem with it.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
But with LeBron moving to the Western Conference, how do you think the roster or the rotation is going to unfold this season? And then do you think you guys are getting to the finals?
Oh, we're getting to the finals. No question about it. But I hate how everybody's like, oh, LeBron's gone in the East. I know he did have a stronghold on the East for the last 7 years, but he barely got up out of there this year.
That's Jaylen Brown on the CJ McCollum podcast the other day. And I don't know what you're going to say, but I hope you're going to say what I think you're going to say.
Oh, my gosh, please. This comment pissed me off to no end.
What's your problem with that comment from Jaylen Brown?
Okay, so the whole idea that, oh, yeah, we're definitely getting to the finals. There's a couple of things that bug me about it, first of all. But we're definitely getting to the finals. Really? Based on what? So, like, I know the Celtics have a good team. I know they have good talent. It just feels to me like they should not be quite this cocky yet. Okay? Not yet. And I know they were without Kyrie, and I know they were without Gordon Hayward. Fine. Is Jaylen Brown's development as a player, is that going to be continuous and steady? Is he going to get any worse? Is Jason Tatum going to get any worse? I don't know.
What's your point?
My point is you don't just show up and get to the finals. You have to work for it. It's not just a thing that happens overnight. You have to put in the effort. You got to stay focused. One of the things that we've loved about the Celtics here over the last couple of years, and last year in particular, is that they stayed focused. They played hard every night. They didn't take their eye off the ball and all of a sudden assume they were the best team in the league. They outworked a lot of teams. That's part of their identity. It's part of who they are. It's part of the reason they're successful. If guys like Jaylen Brown all of a sudden start thinking that they're the cat's ass and they're just going to end up in the NBA Finals, that I think that that's a problem. I don't think they're quite there yet. So it bugs me.
I feel like I've heard this kind of rant before. The Celtics need a humbling. I feel like
they could use a good ass kicking, Murray.
Mid-November last year when they won 16 straight games is where that streak ended. But I do remember hearing something like this.
I think you're so he's confident. It's the NBA. Like I always, there's a discount for NBA commentary because it's the freaking NBA. Like, I don't know.
It's catty.
This is what these guys do. It's what they do, right. It's just sort of a confident.
Oh, God, please, it turned me off right away. But go ahead. I'll tell you the other one, the whole LeBron thing.
Well, the outrage. Play the cut again. Please, Jimmy, I don't mean to bark at you. Would you play the cut again? It's the second part of it.
Roll over.
The second part of it is the one that gets me.
But with LeBron moving to the Western Conference, how do you think the roster, the rotation is going to unfold this season? And then do you think you guys are getting to the finals?
Oh, we're getting to the finals. No question about it. But I hate how everybody's like, oh, LeBron's gone in the East. I know he did have a stronghold on the East for the last 7 years, but he barely got up out of there this year.
He's acting like he won. That's the problem with that cut, is that Jaylen Brown's acting like they beat him.
Well, and here's the other thing I don't like.
No, but hold on. Jaylen, he did have a stranglehold on the East. He beat you. Were you not? I just went back and checked. Oh, you were there because you were 3 of 12 from beyond the line. You were 5 of 18 from the floor. You shot 27%, 13 points. You were there. He kicked your ass when it mattered most. And he's acting like Jaylen Brown, his whole comment there is like, well, I hate how everyone sort of acted like LeBron James had his way with us. He did. Like, that's the dangerous part. Like, he's acting like they actually won that game.
Oh, yeah. And then on top of it, oh, no, we're going to be in the finals this year. So that's the goal now? Just to get there? That's the goal. We're going to get to the finals. We're going to get our ass kicked by Golden State when we get there, but we'll be in the finals. I don't think that they're at this point yet where they should be talking trash. That's all. I don't think they're there yet.
What?
And if I'm Philly or I'm Toronto, are the Celtics really the kind of team right now that should be giving bulletin board material to other organizations? Are they that good?
No, of course not.
They're not there yet. Look, as you said, they lost in the conference final. They didn't get to the final last year.
Not according to Jaylen Brown. It sounds like Jaylen Brown thinks he won that thing. Like, whoa, you guys keep talking about LeBron won every year in the East. Uh-uh. No. Yeah, you act like he had some sort of stranglehold on this thing. That's not the way it... What? Wait a minute. What? Didn't he make the last 7 finals out of the East, Jaylen? I had to go back and check because I know basketball is not my first sport, but I did wanted to go back and look, Jaylen. Oh, yeah, that's right. 87-79. You scored 79 points at home in Game 7. And, oh, yeah, that's right. I was there. And I unlike Jim Murray, who ran out of the building with 5 minutes left because he couldn't even look at it.
No, it was over.
That's unbelievable.
Got to get that Uber and get home.
That's the first time I've seen it in person. When Murray knows it's going down, he's out, man. He does not stay to the end. He does not want to see it.
Can't deal with the pain.
But I was there when LeBron James was dangling his shorts on your forehead. So what, you didn't see that? Oh, like that's the part. Like he's acting like he won.
Oh, it pissed me off. The whole thing pissed me off. I told you there's multiple angles on that comment that just sent me completely into orbit. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. This is where the Celtics think they are. A first year guy and a second year guy who made a nice little run through a soft schedule.
And then gagged when it mattered most. Gagged, including the coach, who wouldn't give the ball to Jason Tatum, the one guy who was doing anything offensively.
All of a sudden, oh, we're definitely going to be in the finals.
And LeBron didn't have a stranglehold on the East. All of a sudden, LeBron did not have a stranglehold on the East? Well, how do you arrive at that?
He has for 8 years.
At what point do you arrive at LeBron James did not? I love how people said he had like a stranglehold on the East. Like that's some sort of outrageous statement, like some sort of misrepresentation.
Yeah, you know why people say it? Because he did.
You had a 3-2 series lead. You lost by 10 in game 6, and then you gagged at home after leading double digits in the first half. You had them, and you lost. Don't go acting like you won that thing.
Oh, it just is so... It flies in the face of, again, everything I've liked about them. I like the fact that they show up every night and play their asses off, and I'm not saying they shouldn't be confident or any of that. Just keep your mouth shut and play. Just keep your mouth shut and play. I don't need all the other stuff. That's what separated you from every other team in the league that I generally hate. And you know what? When they last won a championship, you know why they won it? In part, because they showed up every night. They mowed teams down during the regular season. They won 66 games. They got home court, and they obliterated everyone, and they needed home court. So they didn't go into the season saying, oh, we expect to be in the finals. And that team was better than this one with Garnett and Pierce and Allen. And that was 10 years ago.
What a neat trick. Not only does Jaylen Brown have him in this year's NBA Finals, he had him in last year's NBA Finals. Don't go thinking LeBron had a stranglehold in the East. What? Like, I didn't even think about that the first time I heard it.
Yeah, they were in the finals last year. Do you know that?
Bill and Southie. Go, Bill.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air, Bill.
Hey, are you two clown shows or what? So the two best players on the team weren't even playing, and they got the seventh game. You don't think
and they lost.
Kyrie would have done anything.
And they lost.
Yeah, they lost because they didn't have the two best players.
But they lost.
Kevin Love off. You think they would have won, you two morons? So Tony's telling me all this time that the Red Sox shouldn't be confident because their bullpen stinks. So we shouldn't get overheated about that. But Jaylen Brown makes some offhand comment on a friggin' podcast, and you guys are jumping down his throat. Are
yeah.
You ridiculously kidding me?
No, but it was a good win in Game 7 last year, Bill. I really enjoyed it. And that was a great finals against Golden State. Better luck next time. Oh, that's right. You lost. Oh, don't go thinking that LeBron had some sort of stranglehold on the East. That's the most laughable thing I've heard.
Yeah, I don't know what Bill's all upset about. Bill, just call me at the end of the May when the finals start. We'll see you in Game 1. No problem. They're going to be there. I mean, it's a given. They're definitely going to be there.
Oh,
no problem there.
They still should have won Game 7. They were up how many points in the first half? How many points? Weren't they up 15 and a couple points? And they just had, they were right there on the verge
remember.
Of blowing them out of the building, and they let them back in, and then that's what happened, Jaylen. That the exact definition of stranglehold is what happened to you. 3 of 12 from beyond the 3-point line. Seemed like someone had a stranglehold on you.
Well, it's tough to make threes when you have your hands wrapped around your throat.
Oh, good God. Thank you for, you know what? That comment didn't do anything for me the first time I heard it. I'm like, oh, what? It's just NBA trash talk, whatever.
Told you.
But thank you, Maz.
No problem. Happy to find it.
I can always rely on you.
I know. I dug it out.
Bring that out of me.
Absolutely.
Well, your calls on all this right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials next hour. Brady's future. Again, the conflicting messages on Brady's future. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.